With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Mr. Simpson, I do vote to grant parole when eligible, and that will conclude this hearing.
Thank you.
All right, welcome to the show. Huge news out of Nevada today, as you saw right there. I'm Jason Whitlock. Colin Cowherd is still on vacation, so I'm joined today by Super Bowl champ Eric Davis, Fox Sports Radio host Doug Gottlieb, and award-winning journalist Roy Firestone, who covered the O.J. Simpson trial. All right, let's start with O.J. As you just heard, he was granted release from prison today by the Nevada Parole Board after serving 9 years of his 33-year sentence for kidnapping and armed robbery. O.J. made a bizarre, rambling appearance at the hearing, which was totally in keeping with the circus atmosphere that has surrounded him since 1994. Here's O.J.
I'm no danger to pull a gun on anybody. You know, I never have in my life. I've never been accused of it in my life. Nobody's ever accused me of pulling any weapon on them. And Bruce knows that I would never do that. I never have. It's kind of mind-boggling that they turned over to me property that I'm in jail for trying to retrieve. You know, it was my property. I wasn't there to steal from anybody. And I would never, ever pull a weapon on anybody. It's been ruled legally by the state of California that it was my property, and they've given it to me. I have it. I've always thought I've been pretty good with people, and I've basically spent a conflict-free life. There's nothing I can do about this kind of media circus that's going on right now, but I could do something about the whole thing in the beginning. If I would have made a better judgment back then, none of this would have happened. And I take full responsibility. I thought I was glad to get my stuff back, but it wasn't worth it. You know, 9 years away from your family is just not worth it. And I'm sorry.
I woke up today believing O.J. was going to be paroled. Then I watched the hearing, and I was like, oh, my God,
he's blowing.
Atlanta Falcons, and he's blowing a 28-3 lead, and O.J.'s going back to jail. When they came out with the unanimous verdict of releasing him, I was shocked. And I started the day thinking he was going to be paroled, and he flipped me. And I'm shocked. Was anybody else surprised he was paroled after watching that hearing?
You know what? I'm not shocked. Just like you woke up this morning and you were expecting him to get paroled, I woke up expecting him to be paroled. And I think everyone on the panel were expecting him to be paroled. And then, as you said, he started talking. And right. He almost talked himself back into it.
There were a couple of moments of hostility.
It.
You see that?
It was my property.
Yes, he got himself in a situation going back and forth where it could have gotten ugly.
He was in jail for stealing his own stuff, right? The whole thing you pointed out. This is the circus that is O.J. Simpson. And to people who aren't old enough to remember the trial and all of that was the circus, and how Judge Ito became this huge kind of public figure. And then we started talking about the prosecution and the lawyers, and it's a wellspring for so many others in reality TV. This is what it was, only on the micro level. The macro level was the trial. I was like shot back in time. That's what it was like to watch O.J. Simpson.
This is the point I want to make. You cannot relitigate the murder case today. You can't. Yeah. However, the public has a karmic connection to the murders. No matter whatever happens to O.J. Simpson, if he says, I've never been a violent man, I've never had a conflict, everybody watching at home is going, yeah, tell that to Nicole and Ron. You know, they're always going to say that. You can't relitigate it, but people have that connection and always will, and frankly, always should.
You watched the hearing, though.
Yes.
And I'm just when they came unanimous 4-0, were you surprised?
I was not surprised. I thought he was going to be sprung today.
Yeah, nor were I. I mean, as you said, you understand that you can't bring in the past trial. and the past ruling into this right here. I didn't think so. He was in jail 9 years for stealing his own stuff.
And some say only should have been there 1 or 2 years.
Yeah, because, you know, they Al Caponed him. That's what happened. Exactly. He got Al Caponed on this one.
Get all of that. But I guess the media built up my expectation that what he did in the parole hearing was important. Clearly, it was not. Clearly, what O.J. did for 9 years in that prison is what got him paroled. He kept a clean record.
Yes.
He was a good model citizen. So O.J. went into that knowing the conclusion. He already knew he had sprung himself with his behavior, and he relitigated the case.
Right. Or wanted to, yeah.
He basically did. He relitigated the case, and I was, again, so I'm surprised because I went in with the expectations that he had to be contrite. He had to act like he understood that he put himself in that position. But O.J. basically was a victim today. He described himself as a victim.
Megan, he tried to set the narrative that he was a victim, that all of this was done wrong. I mean, look, I don't think he walked for any other reason or he's on parole for any other reason that they shouldn't have held him this long to begin with, right? I mean,
I agree with you.
The reality of it is, in a sad way, the justice system actually works.
It was payback. It was a kind of payback.
It was payback. Right. He was in jail for, he probably should have been on probation or, as you said, a very shortened sentence. But to me, like, again, this is who OJ's always been. You know, with the exception, the only time there's ever been any sort of admission was the book that sort of came out and then didn't,
if I did it.
But outside of that, like, He was. Now I'm going to go search for the real killers.
You lead us to the second layer to this. Were you surprised by OJ's behavior?
I was.
You were.
Yes.
Why?
Okay. Because I thought that he would be more contrite. I thought he would be. He would abridge his comments. He was going on, and now he was getting himself into deeper. I thought you could feel the hostility. I think you could feel the denial. I think if by any legal reasons, the attorneys and his legal people should have said, just shut up and fall on the football. Don't say too much. Say you're sorry and move on. He didn't do that. That's what surprised me.
Yeah, this is the first glimpse I've ever had into a parole hearing. Okay.
I thought that, too. I've never seen this.
I don't know how it goes, but my expectations would be, yeah, you would be a little bit more humble, that you're going to go in and these people
started off that
they have control over what happens to your life for the next decade or so. So you would think that you would go in and be more humble and just try to keep calm and not do anything. OJ came in and he, at times, he was like, look, this is how it is. I've been done wrong. And I want to tell everybody about it, and you guys better fix it. So I was definitely surprised by his actions.
I was an OJ trial junkie, and I've read a bunch of books, Johnny Cochran's book, Robert Shapiro's book.
I was there at the trial. Let you tell it.
I was an OJ trial junkie. And I bought the belief or the narrative that OJ is smart. That the books all tell me that he helped orchestrate his defense. And this man is a dummy.
He's a narcissist, too.
Yeah.
He's definitely a narcissist.
You're right. He's not very smart. I'm just telling you, because he has no self-awareness. He's delusional. I lived a conflict-free life.
Right.
And okay, let's say O.J. believes he didn't commit the murder. Let's say he's convinced himself. He's convinced himself of that. He didn't commit.
Can't go conflict free.
But conflict free. Domestic violence things
times.
That are
I've never been accused of raising a weapon against anybody. Look, the great philosopher George Costanza once said, "It's not a lie if you believe it." Right? O.J. Simpson believes all of this. Like he is convinced that the world has done him wrong. He is convinced that he did not murder anyone.
Maybe I didn't do it.
Yeah, exactly. It is George Costanza said it. It is true. It is not a lie, and you believe it. And you look in that man's eye. He's crazy. Look, you don't murder two people in cold blood. Wasn't proven. He was proven not guilty in a court of law, but proven liable in a civil court. So, you don't do that. Unless there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with this man, and it's gone untreated. He hasn't sought mental health care, and because of it, that's what crazy looks like in the context of a parole hearing.
Not only has he not sought it, he said he did. He said he was going to go to AA meetings and did not. He said he was going to go to empathy meetings and did not. So he was lying today. He lied a few times today. So
he not only did he lie, though, I'm just telling you, take the murder off the table.
Kind of a big thing to take off the table.
But let's just take it off the table. You have to. A jury said he's innocent.
Yes, exactly.
But to sit there in front of everybody and, hey, I'm a conflict-free person, I'm a people person, I wouldn't hurt anybody. OJ, it's not in question that you brutalized your wife.
But hold on now. Remember, though, but even when this was occurring, okay, O.J. Simpson was a major TV figure. And there was two O.J.s. That's what we really learned at the trial, right, is that there's and what the documentary told us was there was the public O.J. and there was a private O.J.
Right.
And that was back during a time in which all we saw was the public. We didn't really know about people privately. And I think that's what O.J. has slipped back into, like that he really was the O.J. Simpson image running through the airport in the Hertz commercial. The O.J. Simpson in the Naked Gun movie, right? That's what I think. I think there's two different O.J.s. He is a narcissist. He might be bipolar. And that's the O.J. that he slipped into
We all bought that. I bought that in my interviews with him, too. I believed him, too. I was conned by a con man. I'm not going to go back into that whole issue, what happened to me, but I bought it. I bought his lies. And a lot of people do. And by the way, on my Facebook page today, I had about 15 people say, I'm convinced now he didn't do it. He didn't kill those two people. Today, they said.
And this is the thing that we all have to take into account, because you're sitting there saying that there are two OJs and he slipped back into the Hertz, you know, rental car guy. Well, he was found not guilty of that. So why wouldn't he slip back into it?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he still walk around with the same mindset? And that's what I saw today. That is OJ. That's who he is. And I wasn't expecting that person to be there. But he's the same guy.
All right, welcome back. Eric Davis, Doug Gottlieb, and Roy Firestone are back. Let's return to O.J. Simpson. As you just heard, he was granted release from prison today by the Nevada Parole Board after serving 9 years of his 33-year sentence for kidnapping and armed robbery. The hearing was something of a circus, and O.J. was asked about how he would handle public scrutiny if released. Here's what he had to say.
Well, I've been recognized ever since I was 19 years old. Rarely have I even in the last 20 years, rarely have I even had any person give me any negative stuff in the street. I mean, people give you looks and everything, but I'm pretty easily approachable. I've dealt with it my whole life, and I really don't foresee any problem dealing with the public now at all.
All right, I thought cameras televising this parole hearing was unfair to OJ. That was my initial thoughts this morning. Because I thought the parole board may pander to the public pressure and the TV cameras. These things need to be handled in private. If I were facing a parole board, I wouldn't want America looking in and social media and everybody tweet. I thought that pressure might impact the parole board. So I went into this thing, this is unfair. This should not be nationally televised. When it was over, I went in and said, no, the cameras didn't hurt OJ.
They didn't lie.
In the way that I thought it would.
And they didn't lie. The cameras didn't lie either.
It made OJ pander to the cameras,
right,
relitigate the case, show no contrition, and damage further. He has already got a low public perception. He took it even lower. I didn't think it was possible. The cameras hurt him in a different way than I ever anticipated.
But did he become a figure of some kind of sympathy, Simpson sympathy, if you will? That I'm hearing Twitter blowing up, not completely 100%, but a lot more people sympathizing with him today. Do you understand that?
You can't overreact to Twitter.
Yep. I mean,
people say vile things on Twitter. That's
right.
Not most of society.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Right. I mean, so I don't think you can take Twitter. I actually think that his thought that there's not a lot of negativity, one, is probably not a reality, and that he can tune it out, just like he can tune out the reality of what we all believe he's done. But it's also, that was 9 years ago. Since then, there's been this documentary that was an Academy Award winner, and many people who don't remember the case, and all of us had never seen the footage of the actual victims.
Yeah.
Now we have. Now we understand just how heinous those crimes were, mm-hmm. And I think the negativity will be far more widespread wherever he goes, and his travel will be quite limited now. I think if he did not feel the negativity of what we all assume he did in the past, he will when he's released in October.
The cameras were unfair. I agree with you on that. I thought that was unfair, and you can see how it all became a circus, how even the members of the panel of the
parole
board, you got a chief's tie
a chief's
on
tie.
One of them.
Unbelievable.
You got one here in the chief's tie. You have someone else talking about. Well, that's.
I got one.
That's. Do you really?
Chiefs
fan. Only I don't care. Don't worry. You know, you have someone on the panel talking about how nervous they are in there just to do the job that they're supposed to be doing at the time. The images of what happened in the past trial are out there, as you just said, Doug, and we all see those. So watching OJ as not humble himself in this situation, it brings up those images, and we all revert back to that, whether you believe he did it, whether you didn't believe he did it. It's like the Ray Rice punch. You hear about it, but then once you saw the image of it, yeah. It's a lot worse. So I think how he was today, it helped. But still, regardless, I think it hurt his image because you still see that proud OJ. And I think that's going to affect his image now that we have all this other information.
I would disagree with you, gentlemen, saying it's unfair. I mean, like, look, part of this is just an extension of the OJ trial, which was the first one to be televised. So this, of course, should be televised. And I think the idea of having a camera is so that we don't feel like anything illicit took place, right? Mm-hmm. Now we actually saw the process and saw how flawed he was, and he still walks out. But to me, it's about a missed opportunity from O.J. Simpson or whoever is advising him that he could have handled it with...
Let me transition to another. I'm sorry. Okay. No. For cutting you off. Let me transition to a different point. I watched this, and when he got in trouble the second time with the armed robbery mm-hmm. thing,
right.
I was like, oh, my God, how could he be this stupid? Mm-hmm. And then I just watch this parole hearing and I go, oh, no, he is this stupid. I think he will be in trouble again. I don't think he'll be out on parole long. I think the stipulations will be so tough. He's going to make a litany of errors. And within 2 years, OJ will be back in the game.
Let me see if I can, and this is not written in stone, but these are possible terms for parole. Can't abuse alcohol. Can't leave the state, wherever that state might be. Could be Florida, Nevada, say, without the parole permission. Can't commit a traffic violation, can't own a weapon, can be searched day or night. Now, these are inconveniences, you might argue, maybe strong inconveniences. But when you, and again, there's the connection to the past. Those two people who were murdered would love to have those inconveniences. That's the general visceral reaction the public has. So they see all these things, oh, poor OJ. Now, poor Nicole and poor Ron.
But he won't get in trouble.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so because of what you said earlier, Doug. You're sitting in a situation where you already feel like he was Al Capone, that he went to jail.
He's already gotten in trouble, Eric.
But he went to jail. So that's what I'm saying. I don't think being on parole for this when he already served, he's going to serve 9 years for taking his own things. I don't think someone's going to try to get him and throw him back in jail for that.
You know what SOS stands for?
Yeah.
No. Do you know what SOS really stands for?
Yes.
Stuck on stupid. That's O.J. Simpson.
You know, I'm actually with Eric on this one. Look, I think it's gross that there are people that think he's a sympathetic figure. I mean, my personal feelings is what he did to those two people is subhuman, and I believe that rights are awarded to human beings. And when you do that to somebody, you're not a human being. You shouldn't be walking this earth. You should be burning in hell. That's my own personal opinion.
Yeah, but he's going to be in Miami, so it won't be burning in hell. You have plenty of sun.
But wait. The thing is, there is a portion of our population that will champion O.J. Simpson.
Oh, yes, exactly.
And he will be a quasi kind of anti-celebrity celebrity.
And he still got the in only, trouble again,
the
Doug.
The only term of parole that I'm interested in.
That's because he did deals with autograph dealers,
the
right? Like, that's like literally just above amoeba.
The only term of parole that I'm interested in is this. I do not want him to benefit financially from this parole. I don't want him writing books. I don't want him having a TV series, which he may get. He said he had dozens of offers. You heard him today say that. That would be a real crime if he was able to benefit financially. He's already
benefited. Well, he's going to. You know he's going to.
Of course, but he's already benefited. I'd like to see that put in the parole term.
I'm just baffled by this whole... You watch this parole hearing. This man is delusional.
Yeah.
He thinks he's lived a conflict-free life.
Correct.
He's learned nothing...
Straight shooter.
His 70 years on this planet. He thinks he's lived a conflict-free life, and there's pictures of him having brutalized his wife. I'm not talking about the murder.
Right, I understand. You're talking about...
He's delusional, and you think he's not going to get in trouble again.
Yeah, I think there'll be too many layers between
him and... There's been a road rage incident in 2001. There was a golf course wielding a club.
The golf course.
You do wield a club at a golf course.
If you've seen my golf game, you'd understand. I've done that.
But You guys, I'm just telling you, you talked about it. There's a segment that's sympathetic. He's getting older.
They will protect him.
They were all out there the first time.
He kind of isolated himself a little bit the first time.
Right, I don't think he'll be as isolated. That's what I'm thinking too.
I don't think he's not going to isolate himself. He's going to insulate himself with people that will help protect him, and he won't get in trouble for these things.
How about conversely? Do you think there's a possibility that some members of the public will deliberately try to go after him?
Hell yes,
of course. Right.
And that's what I'm saying.
But he has no shot. But that will create him to be a more sympathetic figure.
You don't think there was a segment that was trying to go after him before? I don't think you're going to bait a goose like that.
It is harder to disappear now with cell phones, right? Wherever OJ and with TMZ. Right, they find everybody. They find out everything.
The violations you used to get away with, you ain't gonna get away with now.
But they're gonna find him on the golf course. He's not gonna be out at the clubs. He's not gonna be hanging out like that.
He is 70 years old.
That's what I'm saying. He's getting older.
You got a lot of catching up to do. When you get out of the joint, you're gonna get all the things you missed. Yeah, he's gonna get in some trouble again. All right, final layer, and then we'll continue this in the next segment again. Will there be a racial division about this verdict? Will people see this verdict? Will white people sit there and say, oh man, he got away with something again? And will black people be like, hell yes, OJ's free?
I don't know if I'm going to go racial on this one. The first one, there was definitely, you know, on the murder trial, there was definitely a racial division there. I don't think it's viewed that way now. After all the time has passed, I think there's guys that, whether you believe him or not, whether you think that he should have been in jail for this crime or not, I don't think it's based on a racial aspect of it.
I think it's inescapable. I think race is always going to be inescapable when you're talking about justice and black men and black women. I believe that. I think there's always going to be a segment of society that will never trust the man, so to speak.
Yep.
They'll never trust the system. And I think it's inescapable.
I would agree that there is always a segment of population.
A large segment.
I think it's part of the everyday conversation now. I think we're a little bit smarter. He's not the guy to stick the flag in the ground as finally justice has been served. I think that, look, I misread. Okay, maybe I do.
The Black Lives Movement,
Black Lives Matter movement,
you don't think it's even bigger, perhaps, than it was 20
No,
years
because
ago?
Everybody knows he did it.
Here's what I'm interested
in. Not everybody believes it.
My mother's watching right now. No. She completely disagrees with you.
Yeah, not everyone believes it.
Listen, I want to know, from a white perspective.
Yes.
Do you think
I've gotten in trouble for giving the white man's perspective in the past? I'm glad you teed it up.
Well, I can't give it.
Do you think white people will perceive today as an injustice?
No, I think they'll actually perceive it as the justice system working. Yeah, I do.
That's why I'm saying. I don't think this one's racial.
Look, I'm a white guy. I think he should burn in hell. I think he should have gone to jail,
but not for his own stuff.
This is not the way the justice system is supposed to perform.
But this is the one, way people one is not, feel. People feel they wanted more.
I know they do, and we want to artificially create karma, and you can't. Karma will happen.
It has to happen organically.
Right. I'll only speak for me as a white guy. Like, I don't feel right about doing, because you wouldn't do that to any other citizen, and so you don't want the justice system to perform that way. Because if it does, you're okay with it stepping over the line for others, and I actually don't think most white people will think this is an injustice. They'll think this is about right.
I agree with that.
I can't speculate on what white people think, but if I were to do that, I would say they watched a dude on TV today say, I've done nothing wrong my entire life.
I understand. But Shawshank Redemption everybody in here is innocent, right? Like, nobody in jail thinks they did it. He served 9 years in jail.
Yes.
For stealing his own stuff, Jason.
I think people are reasonable. I get it, but I'm telling you, you got white people at home saying, you did nothing wrong. First, you got away with beating both of your wives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some people believe you got away with double murder. We're just going to keep it as slow. And you're sitting here today in a parole hearing, basically spitting on everybody. I've done nothing wrong. I'm the victim. If Tom Ricci just hadn't called me, I would be a free man. And what a crime this has been. But the police rushed the judgment.
But if you put any thought into it, you go back to what Doug just said. He was in jail. He's been in jail 9 years for taking his own stuff. And then if you're going to go on the other side of it and say, well, he was paroled. He got out.
I think part of what both of you say is correct. But I think what Jason is saying is he shouldn't be playing the injured party. Not as playing it as pronounced as he did.
All right, welcome back. Eric Davis, Doug Gottlieb, and Roy Firestone are back. Let's return to O.J. Simpson, who was granted release today by a Nevada parole board after serving 9 years of his 33-year sentence for kidnapping and armed robbery. O.J. made several excuses for his crimes throughout his rambling testimony, but he did issue an apology in his closing statement.
I am sorry that things turned out the way they did. I had no intent to commit a crime. We're all convicts. I'm a convict. Do your time and don't do anything to extend your time. I believe in this jury system. I will honor what the jury said. I'd just like to get back to my family and friends. And believe it or not, I do have some real friends. I thought I was glad to get my stuff back, but it wasn't worth it. You know, 9 years away from your family is just not worth it. And I'm sorry.
All right. We talked earlier about, will there be a racial divide? And we kind of came to an uncomfortable agreement that, hey, maybe white people won't care as much, and so maybe there won't be this racial divide. I don't think it's unfair to generalize that there is a lot of black support for O.J. Simpson still to this day. And we're often, as African Americans, criticized for having any level of sympathy for O.J. Simpson. Listen, I woke up today, like I said at the beginning of the show, thinking O.J. was going to be paroled, thinking O.J. should be paroled. He was over-sentenced. I get all that. Then I watched him behave, and I was like, damn. So he took away some of my sympathy. But I'm not going to chastise other African-Americans who view O.J. as this symbol.
It's a prism
of what,
to look at things.
Of what's wrong with the justice system. Mm-hmm. And so we've rallied around O.J., it appears. But really, during the trial, I rallied around the original murder trial. I rallied around Johnny Cochran. I thought his brilliance as an attorney in that courtroom on that stage, I rallied around that and rooted for him. But I understand why so many African-Americans, we have a problem with the justice system and the way we feel the justice system treats us, and that spills over to sympathy for O.J.
Here's where I don't agree completely. O.J. Simpson never gave a damn about the black community, and yet he gets the sympathy and the support of the black community.
Well, the black community didn't know that at the time.
Yeah, but you know it now.
Wait, no. Growing up as a kid, that's what I'm saying. So I'm growing up, I'm watching O.J. play for Buffalo and do the things that he did. I'm watching him, do the commercials. He was the first one to transcend sports in my eyes. So, and I didn't hang out with him in Brentwood. I didn't know anything about him. I didn't know his life. I didn't know the world that he was in. I just know the guy that I saw on TV that looked like me.
Right.
That was doing things that I wanted to do. So when you say he didn't care about the black community, I would think I'm speaking for the majority of the people my age, black kids my age, like you.
We're
the same age. How did you know he didn't care?
Because I'm in the media, and I knew people. O.J. was in the
media. Okay, so that's what
I'm saying. And I knew people.
Being a part of the media, you had those conversations. I didn't get to have those conversations.
Jim Brown, if it happened to Jim Brown, that would have been a slightly different thing, because Jim Brown has availed himself to the African-American community for decades, always spoke up for black issues and black causes. I would understand that a little more than O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, I think that's the part that, just as a white guy, like I don't understand. Like, I understand any feeling of an African-American feeling like there's racial injustice, especially whether it's police brutality or in the justice system. I understand that. But this is O.J. Simpson, who, I granted, we didn't know then. None of us knew as kids who these phonies were. But now we do know. Now we do know he never had time for the black community, with the exception of when he was on trial for his life. Yeah. And now you would still accept him back? Like, that's... It's incredible. Maybe it speaks to the racial injustice in this country, but also maybe it speaks to just how welcoming the black community is to their own. But I just don't get that.
No, again, I'm going to go back to Johnny Cochran and what he represented.
No, he was magnificent.
No, before O.J., right. Johnny Cochran had been pushing the narrative like, hey, man, the police force is unfair. They plant evidence. They treat our community unfairly.
That's true.
He was doing all of that before O.J.
With Furman.
And then he used O.J. to take his argument nationally. And it was something that resonated with us. Because we believe that, and we've experienced
that. So did the jury, by the way, believe.
Yeah, no sure. question about it.
But there's also, if you watch, I'm watching the documentary, the part that makes you most sick as, I think, a human being, but at least as a white guy, is that he turned the trial into about race in his...
Johnny Cochran did.
Yes.
Yeah.
In his closing.
Yeah.
And that's won the case for him. I think that's the part that sits, because you couldn't win it on its own merits.
Right.
And there were the holes in the prosecution case, I guess, but if you looked at it in totality.
Doug, I think you're missing my point, though. Yeah. For black people, it wasn't about O.J. It was about a system that Johnny was putting on trial for treating us unfairly. O.J. gets residual benefits from that, unfortunately. But to me, it was always about Johnny Cochran.
But what about now? Now you know who O.J. really is.
Oh, okay, but
now you still feel sympathy for him?
This is the issue with all of it. Because I'm trying to go beyond just with O.J. You saw the movie Avatar. Why did we all like the movie Avatar? It was the first time the natives won. Okay. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, people move in and you can't fight that fight, and the minorities get pushed down. O.J. kind of represented that.
Yeah, but that's important, Eric. He wasn't that. He represented
that. And that's why the sympathy is there, because
he didn't earn it. But he didn't earn the sympathy.
But when you never get it, you grab onto it whenever you can.
Right. Okay.
And that's what I think he represents. And that's why some of the sympathy is still there.
And celebrity is almost as big in this case as color. I'm sorry. I believe that's two things. I think color first, but I think celebrity is right up there. Because people wanted to believe that he was the Hertz guy. They wanted to believe he was the Naked Gun guy. There's no way he could have done these things. Even this trial, even this case, he got caught up in a web of something. He was trying to get his stuff. I think people bought into the lie of O.J. Simpson. And the media was part of that, too.
No, we certainly bought into the lie. O.J. is not the first celebrity, first American, first citizen of the globe to represent something, to be a symbol of something he doesn't truly represent.
Right.
Yeah, and it happens it happens more in religion, probably, than it does in real life, right? Like, we want so badly to believe in God and to believe that we'll be saved ultimately, that we'll latch on to people who are false prophets, if you will. I think that's where it happens more. And I do think that some, if you want to call them more weak-minded or people that have a little bit more naivete, they can get talked into by a con man. I just thought we all knew that it was a ruse. I guess I operated under the assumption that everybody knew he was a phony, he was a fraud, he did it. I don't know why we're saying this is a guy that's going to somehow right the wrongs of our justice system.